One of my favorite things is biographies. Is there anybody else who just really likes biographies to find out about the background and the past of other people? I really like to learn about people. I think it's just wonderful. And I love A&E and their biography. They often have their This Week in Biography, you know, famous women who died young. This Week in Biographies, the most powerful men of the 20th century. Well, I think that if there had been a This Week in Biography during King Belshazzar's reign, and they did a week of the most powerful men in history, they probably would have done a story on him. At least they would have where our story begins. King Belshazzar was the son of the most powerful king at that time. He was the son of the king of Babylon, and as the son of the king of the Babylonian Empire, when his father was away, he reigned in his place. And it seems that his father was away quite a bit. His father had some mental problems that caused him to be away for about 7 years. And his father also had to go out and fight a lot of battles. So, as the second most powerful man in the kingdom of Babylon, the first most powerful empire on the earth, living in the most prestigious, powerful city of the empire, Babylon, you can see why King Belshazzar would have been someone to reckon with. He would have been someone to take time to find out about his past and speculate about his great future. He was a man who had it all. He had power. He had prestige. He had influence. He had authority. He had wealth. And he even had those kinds of things that some of us say are more important. He had friends. Over 1,000 people were at his party. He had wives. And he seemed to be having a whole lot of fun. Just to give you an idea of just how powerful and important the Empire of Babylon was, the city of Babylon, and the king that was reigning in his father's absence. Let me tell you what was going on during this great banquet and party. There were actually foreign... I'm trying to think of the word. I've lost it. Foreign armies, that's it. There were foreign armies outside of the city walls of Babylon, and they were there to take over the Babylonian Empire. King Belshazzar had nothing to worry about. All he did was go, come on, everybody, inside the gates. Close the massive gates of the city that sealed everyone inside the massive wall. They knew about foreign armies would come and try to take their great city. Everybody wanted to take what other people had. So they had saved up provisions. And there are some historical reports that say that they had over 20 years of provisions to feed the people in the city. Their walls were impenetrable, so all they had to do was wait till those people outside got tired and went home. There was nothing to worry about. And so, when the Babylonian holiday came, the king threw a great banquet for over 1,000 of his officials. And they were having a great time. And into the midst of their great time comes the hand of God. And God writes just 4 words on the wall to sum up all of King Belshazzar's life. Not 4 volumes, not 4 episodes of biography, just 4 words. Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. I've looked at the full number of your days. And you haven't done a thing to impress me, so I'm bringing them to an end. I've weighed everything you've ever done on my scales, And believe me, it doesn't equal anything. Certainly not enough to leave you as king of this great nation. And so, I'm going to divide it. I'm going to give it away. Nothing that King Belshazzar had, nothing that he had done, not even whose son he was, what empire he ruled, what city he lived in, how many friends he had any weight with God. In God's opinion, he came up short. And his days came to an end. What if God were to write our biography? What if God were to look at your entire life, the full number of your days? What would he find? What if he were to take all that you had done, and all that you were, and all that you had, and put it in his scale? How much would it weigh on God's scale? What would his final word about your life be? Certainly, there are lots of things in our life that weigh us down. Our possessions, our occupations, our prestige, our power in this world, our long list of influential friends that we can name drop with. But we have seen those were things that King Belshazzar had, and none of that had any weight with God. So perhaps something else that might have weight with God would be all those good things that we do. Going to church, serving on the church council, coming to cleanup day, helping a neighbor, getting a little cat out of a tree. Do you think that that would add up to enough to give weight in God's scales? Martin Luther, when talking about our good works, said, you know, the thing is, they're precious garments to us. But in comparison to the glory of God, they're filthy rags. They just can't measure up. For everything that we do and everything that we are, even those things that we do for God, we need to remember that we're talking about those old-fashioned scales where there's a counterbalance on this side that gives you what the weight is on this side. And the counterbalance is the holiness and perfectness of God. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you can see, what can we put in this side of the scale? What do we possibly have that could compare to the holiness and the perfection and the love that God has for us? There is nothing. There is nothing. But there is something that God has that can change the balance and change our life. You remember that the scripture says, and this has been written about us, it's one of those handwriting on the wall kinds of things that we need to recognize. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can compare with God. None of us can balance the scales on our own. But there is another thing that has been written about us, if we recognize it, and that is that God loved us so much that he sent his only son so that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't it amazing? God's love weighs it down so heavy that we can't compare, that we can't balance the scales, yet in God's love for us, he provides a way. and that way is Jesus Christ. For those of you who listen to Wave 94, perhaps you have heard the Monumental Air Show skit. One of my favorites is a man, he's died, he's gone to heaven, and he's there taking the good works test to get 1,000 points. He says, okay, I got a cat out of a tree once. All right, 1 point. Well, you know, I was a really good husband. Okay, 2 points. No, I mean, I was a really good husband. I never committed adultery. I was always faithful. He says, 2 points. And he goes through everything he can scratch his head for to come up with and think of. And he says, well, how many points was it I need to get again? 1,000 points. And how many do I have? 10. He said, well, I was a really good person. How does anybody get in? He says, they don't take the test. They get in on Jesus' score. And the reality is, Belshazzar is not condemned because he's a jerk. Because he doesn't have a list of good works. He's not condemned because he's rich or powerful. He's condemned because he doesn't honor God. He's condemned because he doesn't recognize that God is what his life needs to center on. And truthfully, if his life had centered on God, the being a jerk would have taken care of itself. Because remember that, if you love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, my version of this, the second one should be easy because it's the same thing. You love your neighbor as yourself. The truth is, we don't have any more chance of balancing those scales, of having God look at our life and see things that are weighty enough to make us worthwhile in and of ourselves. But God created us in His image, and we are worthwhile to God in and of ourselves. And so in Jesus Christ, the scales are balanced. And that last word isn't divided, but righteous. We have been made righteous in Christ. Our closing hymn this morning is Nothing But the Blood. It's found on page 362, and I would invite you to stand.